okay? I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding and order, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may receive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Spiritual fullness in Christ. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head of over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh, we put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcisions of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all for our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the power and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Freedom from human rules. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration of a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great details about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idols' notions by their unspiritual minds. They have lost connection with the head from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews grows as Christ causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spirit forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all distinct, to perish with use and based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That's the word.
You see how Derek and I, come here, Derek. He's now in the text thread, and we dress alike. We got the blue, we got the, all right. It's part of the elder code. We are so blessed to have Derek and Jay Wright also, if you know Jay. Attends, I believe, Saturday evening service. Is Jay here? Jay Wright?
No, it's first service, sorry.
First service, okay.
They all kind of blend after a while.
What a blessing, though, to have Derek here. So, welcome today. We recognize that as we gather here today that we might all be in different places. Some of you might be on a mountaintop. Others of you might be in that valley. We know that some of you might be running to God, whereas others might be running from God. And we want to just reach out to each of you. We know we're going to grieve with the Martinez family. We mourn with those who mourn. And we also want to rejoice with those who rejoice. So we encourage you to reach out. And as part of the family, to be honest with each other and be honest with us and come to us with your needs. Visit the prayer chain often. If you're not on that email list, please visit that so that you can pray with the body of Christ. So
amen.
We're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, sovereign God, living God, the only true God, we come to you now, Lord God, and we just worship you, and we rejoice that we serve a God who wants an intimate relationship with us. As Pastor said, you know, Lord God, when even the sparrow falls. If you care that much about your creation, Lord God, how much more do you care about those who are created in your image? Remind us, Lord, continually that we are your children, and that as your children, we have the privilege of coming to our Heavenly Father, of drawing close to you, of coming to you with our every need, with every praise that we have, with the good news of when we are happy. And also, Lord, in the times when we just want to bury our head into you, when we are crushed. Father God, we ask now that your grace would be poured out upon the Martinez family. Even though, Lord, we're not sure of the status of each victim, Lord God, we know the not just the physical trauma, but also the emotional trauma of an accident that that has on a family, combined with the loss of the father earlier, Lord God. We continue to pray that as a church family, that we would extend our arms and our gifts to bless this family, Lord, to come around them, come alongside them, and to lift them up and to help to bear that weight and bear that burden with them. Father God, we now think of those even within this congregation who are here present with us or might be watching online or in a different service, Lord God, or who might be away on a vacation. We know, Lord God, that there are so many needs amongst us. We are all represented here, Lord God, with different needs, whether they be physical or financial or emotional needs, Lord, spiritual needs, relational needs, Lord God. We pray for healing in relationships between husbands and wives. We pray, Lord God, for those who are separated a great distance from their children, whether they're maybe serving in the armed services, Lord God, and are away. We pray your protection upon them. We ask, Lord God, that your blessing would rest upon our law enforcement, in our emergency services, Lord God. We recognize, Lord God, the emotional trauma that they suffer when they arrive upon such scenes as accidents and domestic abuse, Lord God, and they take that home with them, Lord God. They don't leave it there. And we pray again, Lord God, that you pour out your grace and your peace and your strength upon them and your protection. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. And I pray, Lord God, that you help us to be patient in waiting for those answers, knowing that you will accomplish, Lord God, your will in our lives. Pray, Lord God, that you would open up our eyes to your will for us, for the good works that you have already ordained for us to do this week. Help us, Lord God, to take advantage of those opportunities to share your gospel, knowing that we live in a dead and a dying world, Lord God. And as we have that lifeline, that the answer, the only answer, help us to be willing to share it, Lord God, and not keep it buried inside of us. Lord God, even now I just ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for the message that you have for us. I pray that as Pastor Randy comes here, that you would speak through him, Lord God, that you would lay upon his heart those things that we need to hear, Lord, even if they are hard to hear. Help us to hear with an open heart and an open mind, Lord. And like the Bereans, Lord God, to test it against the scriptures, Lord, to be active listeners. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Russ. Well, thank you, Derek, and thank you, Russ, once again for blessing us. Why don't you welcome Derek once again into the eldership with your hands. Well, once again, I was moved by the Holy Spirit, I believe, to preach to you a message that never entered my mind to do. I've never preached on this before, and it is one of those kind of times when I have a feeling that it may be a difficult message to receive. But again, events of this past week and conversations I've had, things I've read, have moved me to preach on this topic, which Jesus needed to address in his day, and Paul addressed in his letters to the churches. Oftentimes when I meet you all, and you can attest to this, for the first time, I'll ask you, well, what is your faith tradition? I'm meeting you for the first time. Where do you come from, religion-wise, spiritually speaking? And it's interesting, the answers I get. I wrote down a couple of them. Most of the people in this church over the 3+ decades have said I was raised Catholic. That's the overwhelming majority. Some say Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, United Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, Christian Missionary Alliance down the street, Evangelical Free, Jewish, Episcopalian, Atheist, Agnostic, and with a couple of you, Hindu or Buddhist, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormon. Those are some that I can remember. I got to tell you, every time you tell me where your faith tradition was, it triggers something in my mind of all of the tradition that is associated with that, and if I dare say, some of the heresy that is associated with some of that, and the godlessness or the emptiness that is a part of that. We had a Buddhist woman that we baptized in the Delaware River, and again, I want to invite you to do that, but I remember she was saying she lived 40 years as a Buddhist, completely empty. Then she met Jesus. She gave an amazing testimony. Had a man from Ethiopia who had come as well. He's a surgeon in the United States, but from Ethiopia with his traditions. And we've had Mormons come into here and Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's all kinds of triggers for me. You got to know it. Things start going on in my mind as to how my conversation is now going to go. And I start to lean in a little bit more, especially if it's a little bit out there. Can I say it that way? A little bit out there. I start to lean in to hear really how that tradition has impacted their lives, because we have to go from there. Listen to me, church. If your faith tradition, whatever it is not firmly grounded in the truth of God's word, be careful that those traditions do not cause you to become a hypocrite and actually cause those who are seeking the Lord to be driven away. That's pretty intense. This message might sting a little bit. When Jesus preached it to his contemporaries, they said, Jesus, you insult us in this. That's not my intention. I don't desire to insult anybody here. I want to bless you. But I can almost guarantee you that in trying to bless you today, I will insult you, okay? So just kind of be ready for it. I'm not trying to do that, but understand this. I really love you. I really do. And I hope you'll show me a little love today and a lot of grace. Can I get an amen? Can I get a stronger amen? Amen. All right. That means you are not allowed to disagree with anything I said, okay? We're going to get into a very familiar passage of Scripture from 1 Timothy in just a moment. We're going to pray and ask God's blessing. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the privileged time that we have here together as we enter into your throne room to now hear from you. And so, Lord, as we do this every week, it's part of our faith tradition. We come together and to seek your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, your rebuke, your love. Father, we just ask that you would do these things now, Father, as we consider the words of Jesus, of Paul, even of Peter, as we consider the words of David. Father, I pray that you would be our teacher and that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. Lord, I pray that you would protect us all from having any of our flesh creep in, otherwise distract us, any of our own faith tradition and the things we hold so tenaciously to, Lord, those sacred cows that we don't want to give up but aren't of you. Father, I pray that none of those things would get in the way. And now, Father, I pray that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, that we would all be receptive, fully receptive to what you would have for us today. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start once again, after you hold up your Bibles, because that's a tradition. There we go. Would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4? I want to read a couple of verses to you that are very familiar to us, and then we're going to go from there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. If you didn't bring your Bibles with you, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you if you want to follow along on paper, but you can follow along on the wall as well. Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith," and that word comes from two Greek words meaning to stand away from, to openly rebel. "Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." Now, I know you're familiar with that passage. You could quote it. But I want to kind of take a couple of things from it, because then we're going to bounce off of that passage and move on. A couple of things are at risk here. Did you ever ask yourself, why would people in the faith who've been taken from darkness to light, from death to life, why would they stand in rebellion against the faith and stand away from it and then follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons? Why would they do that? Well, there's a couple things at least. Number one, listen carefully. Number one, I believe the people that will do this, will abandon their faith and follow liars, are not firmly grounded in the truth. If you're firmly grounded in the truth, you can tell a lie a mile away, hopefully. But if they're not firmly grounded in the truth, your intimacy with Christ has been waning for years and years. You have no Bible study time, no quiet time, no reading of his word. And before you know it, any crazy lie that comes down the road may seem credible. Before you know it, you gather up a whole bunch of those and you abandon the faith and you follow deceiving spirits. The second thing that I notice in this is that the deceiver is at work. The deceiver is at work. And it says here, if you will, they follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teaching come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They follow the demonic. They follow demons. Now, that tells me that the devil himself is involved. When these people abandon the faith, and it will happen, when the devil is somehow involved. Now, understand, if you don't know the truth, Satan will wipe you out easily. Easily. You remember, he was one who was able to take two people who their entire existence was wrapped around the presence of Almighty God and truth. But yet he was able to convince them to believe a talking serpent over their Creator, Father. And he also got them to believe that death was better than life. So if you don't have a handle on the truth, a strong handle, and you're not walking in it, you will be easily taken out, because these things come through the demonic. They come through hypocritical liars, but they're demons. They're things taught by Satan. Now, we understand and we know that the enemy uses, if you will, religious people, pastors and the like, to do his handiwork. Can I ask you, church, and I want to amen on this one, to challenge by the word of God everything that comes from this pulpit? I got one guy. I want a loud amen. You can say it. It doesn't insult me. It encourages me. Put everything that I say to the test of Scripture, because I certainly don't want to lead you down a path. I don't want you to say, well, I believe it because Pastor said it. I believe it because Pastor quoted Scripture to me over and over again, and I believe it because I saw it in the Word of God. I'd rather have you do it that way. But the enemy uses religious people to do his bidding. In John chapter 8, we see that Jesus tells the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that they are doing the work of their father, who is the devil. The Pharisees were sons of the devil, Jesus called them. And he says, you are just doing what your father desires. He is a murderer from the start and a liar from the start. And that's what you guys are. You want to seek to murder me. And you're full of lies. So the religious leaders were the instruments. I believe that the biggest contributor to the people that abandon the faith are going to be people from within the church who allow the enemy to use them. Did you hear that? Okay, listen to me. We also know that the devil himself masquerades as a what? Angel of light. If he masquerades as an angel of light, we had better know the truth. Okay, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 again. Because I want to bounce off of those two verses, I want to reread them and then get into a description of who it is that causes other people to abandon the faith. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. But let's keep moving on. These people, these hypocritical liars, they forbid people to marry, and they order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. How many of you believe that? That you can eat Brussels sprouts so long as you pray over them. Because you know they're consecrated. Yesterday, I have to tell you, in the trip I told you was going to come into the message, we stopped off at a place called Hershey Farms for lunch. This is where I know the Word of God is true. Some of you may know that I have issues with diabetes. But there's some things that you just have to look away from the diabetes chart and go after with prayer and the Word of God. Okay? So I had, after dinner, homemade waffle with vanilla ice cream, peanut butter chips, strawberry glaze. Did I say ice cream? I think I did. Chocolate syrup, caramel syrup, and then on top, to make it complete, some whipped cream. And I prayed over it. So it's sanctified. Can I get a strong amen? All right, whatever. Got it. I'll just be fasting for the next 3 days. That's all. All right. You guys want me to just shut up so you can go out, right? All right. But the bottom line is there are legalists out there. Legalists that will tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. It seems that the people leading others from the faith may actually come from within the household of faith, from within Christianity. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Church, if this is not a wake-up call for us to get off of our own traditions and into the truth, I don't know what else is. We are going to be the ones to cause others to abandon the faith. Acts chapter 20. Paul calls the Ephesian elders together, and he says, I'm never going to see you guys again, so here's some instruction. Starting with verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. There is a man who understands full forgiveness by the blood of Jesus, because he was responsible for the blood of innocent men. Now he says, I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. So keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds, he's talking to the elders here, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. That's from outside. But even from your own number, elders, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. People are going to be from among the household of faith to distort the truth and pull people away. We as the people of God need to so thoroughly know the truth of God's word that we don't get led off by those who distort the truth with their traditions. Listen, Paul attacks such traditions as absolutely ungodly. I'm going to ask you to go over to Colossians chapter 2. You still with me, church? All right. Have I stepped on anybody's toes yet? I hope not. Colossians chapter 2. I just want to read a couple of verses that Derek read for us. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 20. Listen carefully. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles or the elementary teachings of this world, why, as though you still belong to this world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. This is where the legalism comes into the church. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. There is no push toward God. It's away from God. I want to give you a few examples. I think this might intrigue you. I want to give you a few examples as to why some people will never come back to this church. They have told me so. They've come into the church one time, and they've left. Are you ready? Number one, because we use the wrong version of the Bible. You hear me, right? Anybody hear this? You don't use the King James Bible. As my grandmother would say, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, right? Written 1,600 years after Paul's death, but that's okay. People have come in and said, this, every other version is heretical. Well, what do they use in Germany? What do they use in Italy? What do they use in Africa and the countries, many countries there? Do they use the King James Bible? I don't think so. And let me tell you something. When the King James Bible came out in 1609 and then 1611 and another version, another rendition of it, the people of England burned it because it was new. They hated it. They had their Geneva Bible, and they thought this was heretical. This was terrible. This is a new kid on the block, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it, but the king, King James, ordered that the people have them in their homes, but they continued to burn them in the city squares. I'm telling you, it was repugnant to them. And some of you have come in with your faith tradition. By the way, I was raised on the King James Version. It's all they had. I was born in 1611. Anyway, that's all they had. Growing up in Christian school, we memorized everything from the King James Bible. I have no problem with the King James Bible. I have a problem with King James only advocates. I have a problem with people who say this is the version that God has ordained and all above. And listen, understand there are problems with the King James translation because we have so many more documents that have come out in the last century, Dead Sea Scrolls from Qumran and Masada and the like, that are earlier texts, earlier manuscripts that give a little bit of issue with some of King James renditions, if you will, or translations. But the NIV isn't perfect. The NASB is not perfect. The RSV is not perfect. The ESV is not perfect. The WAY is not perfect. And certainly there are some that are really, really strange translations. But you want to know the best translation of the Bible? The one you're reading. Because if you have a version that everybody else told you is the best translation, but you're putting it up on the shelf, it's no good. Read your Bible. It may not be the deepest in the word studies and stuff. It may not be the absolute most perfect or wooden translation, but read the Bible. Most of them out there are very good. But people have said, nope, you don't have it. I'm never coming back. This is a heretical church because I don't use the Bible of King James. A language that was foreign to the people 400 years ago was used in the language of the aristocracy alone. The common person couldn't understand the King James Bible in England in 1611. Because it wasn't their language. It was the language of the aristocracy. Listen to me. There's others. Woman came into the church, said, I'll never come back to your church because the women do not wear hats. Ladies, get out. And she was absolutely sincere. Absolutely sincere. She was raised with a faith tradition that every woman in her church came into church with their head covered because the scripture says, doesn't all nature tell you these things, that long hair to a man is wrong? And a woman is not to pray to God without her head being covered. But they failed to read on. In the next sentence, it says, long hair for a man is an abomination, but long hair for a woman is there for her glory and to be used as a covering. So women, your hair is your covering. And you can come into the church and you can pray. But then he says, in the next line, but the churches ought not to be contentious about this. And so what do? We have our faith traditions that say we've got something better over the other church. We don't let our ladies come into the church without a hat. Wow. Man, tradition over the truth of God's word. Gonna go. Can I give you a couple more? These get fun, okay? People have left the church. They've come in. They've seen that demonic unit over there, and they've left. The drums, right? Because the drums are of the devil. Can I tell you once and for all, there is no musical instrument that's ever been made that's of the devil. It's inanimate. It has no soul. It has no will. It does nothing of its own accord. You can have somebody of the devil play instruments, and you can have somebody of the Lord play instruments, but the instruments themselves are not demonic. Are you with me? No musical instruments. But people say that drums shouldn't be in churches, and yet I'm going to show you that drums are in the church, are in the scriptures. No guitars in church. I can show you in scripture where there's guitars in church. No tambourines or dancing in church. You see where I'm going. I looked up one church. It's called the Church of God in Christ Non-Instrumental. That's the official title. Put that on your church check every week, right? You're going to go to online giving real fast. Church of God in Christ Non-Instrumental. So I went to this site, and I listened to one of their few preachers. And he said, the reason why churches are not supposed to have instruments in churches is because we live in the church age, New Testament only. Nothing of the Old Testament should influence the New Testament. And the New Testament never gives any godly authority to have an instrument in church. I'm thinking the New Testament isn't about instruments in church. So it doesn't even mention it. It doesn't talk about it. But let me tell you something. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. And if the God of the Old Testament commands us to have instruments in the sanctuary, then that goes over into the New Testament. Can I get an amen? Jesus was Jewish. He was a participant. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 150. Are you with me? This is fun. But what a mess. What a mess our churches get into because of the traditions of man. And people are going to walk away from the faith because of the legalism and the traditions of men. Here we go. Psalm 150. I love it. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his what? Sanctuary. Sanctuary. Sanctus, sanctus, sanctus in Latin. Sanctuary means holy, 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 holy. Praise God in his holy place. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, if you will, in the sanctuary. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. The harp is the six-string guitar, and the lyre is the 12-string guitar, okay? Just trust me on that one. Praise him with the tambourine, which we have, and dancing, which we don't have a lot of that. Praise him with the strings and with the flute. We have those. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals after you're done beating on the drums. Praise him with the resounding cymbals, this clashing. This is a noisy event. God says, I want it in my sanctuary. Now, why would it please God to have it in the sanctuary for the Jews of the day, but not for his body of Jews and Gentile believers when Jesus walked the earth? That doesn't make any sense. But we put on these traditions of man that will push people out of the kingdom of God, and we got to be careful. A couple more. We've had people come in and leave because we worship God on Saturday and Sunday. We've had people leave because we worship God on Saturday. We've had people leave because we worship God on Sunday. Isn't this kind of crazy? Isn't it crazy? Understand that God demands our worship every day. Every day. And yet people will say, no, 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 we will only worship. And if you're only worshiping God on Saturday, you're going against his will. If you're only worshiping him on Sunday, you're going to worship him every day. Every day. Listen to me, church. Our traditions can become our deities. Our traditions can become our deities. They're more important than actually following the truth of God's word, causing people to run from the faith. I want to go over to Mark chapter 7, a couple more passages here, and then we'll be done. Mark chapter 7, I want you to look at what Jesus has to say. It's a lengthy passage, but not too bad. Verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw that some of his disciples were eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. They obviously never went through this COVID disaster. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. holding to the tradition of the elders. It's not a God word thing. It's the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. These are traditions. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? And he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. When our traditions become our deities, we become hypocrites. These people honor me with their lips, Isaiah said, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever might otherwise have you have received from me is korban, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. It was the Pharisees that were pushing people away because of their stupid traditions. Listen to me. The traditions of God are always good and liberating, whereas the traditions of man are incarcerating. I know of a man. He's a pastor in Easton. There's a lot of pastors in Easton, so I think I'm safe. I know him personally. I don't know him well, but I know him personally. I've had interactions with him. I've had gone around and around and around theologically with him. Most of the women in this church sitting right here would not be allowed in his church. Why? Because you're wearing pants. He's wearing pants. Can I tell you what? He says the pants are to be worn by men. I didn't see Jesus wear pants. I didn't. I don't think he did. For that insanity, I will never wear women's pants. There's a distinction. Raised with six women in my house, I know there's a distinction. But I'm always going to wear. And women, wear your women pants. I don't care. The bottom line is, for that stupid tradition, he has a church probably about of a dozen, two dozen people for all of his ministry. Because the legalism, the traditions of the Pharisees have become so crazy and hypocritical. He has a form of godliness, but denying his power. The honoring maybe with their lips, but not really in their hearts. So let's move on to one more passage before we get to the next one after that. Go over to Luke chapter 11, and then we're almost done, I promise you. Still with me, church? Luke chapter 11. I don't want to be a part of those who cause others in my church to abandon the faith because of my traditions. In Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside also make the inside? But give what is inside, the dish, that is, to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, your rue, and other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect the justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it. Then one of the experts in the law answered him, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. And then if you will, I'm going to ask you to just go down. Well, go to 46 and then bump down. Jesus replied, and you experts in the law, woe to you because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. 52, woe to you experts in the law because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. Wow, that's pretty intense. We hold tenaciously to legalism and things that are not biblical, and we push people away. We tie burdens onto them, onto their shoulders, and won't even lift a finger to help. We just stand in judgment. Our church is better than your church is worse than ours, whatever, and you guys are not as good as me, and on and on. And people say, I don't want to have any part of this because it's not godly truth. I want to show you one more passage, and then we're done. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul did this exact same thing, loading up the burdens on people, even doing something even more vile because of tradition. Look at a couple of verses 11 through 17. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life. Listen, in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately to Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Paul says, I was following tradition like you wouldn't believe, and it was the tradition of my fathers, and I'm a Pharisee. I believe I was following God all the way, and I was destroying households, and then finally God stopped me and said, stop with this ungodly tradition and start following the truth. And he introduced me to Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul did this. Crazy religious legalism and ungodly traditions of man, nothing new under the sun, it existed in Jesus' day and in ours, will cause people to, in the last days, to abandon the faith. So what do we need to do? Two things. Number one, it's all about God's word and the Holy Spirit illuminating that truth to our hearts and minds. You gotta get into the word of God. And the second thing is the God, listen to me, the God of the Old Testament is the same God as the God of the New Testament. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to read this to you, but I want you to listen to every single word. Although Jesus came to fulfill the law, and we now live under grace, our understanding of who Jesus is, why he came, what happened when he rose again from the dead, and the making of disciples from every tribe, language, nation, and tongue has its foundation in the older Testament, Genesis through Malachi. You can't really understand New Testament church stuff unless you understand Old Testament foundation. You can't fully understand it. You can get a grasp to some degree, but you'll never understand what Hebrews is all about. You'll never understand why Jesus had to die, why he was the fulfillment of the law. You'll never understand the character of God who allowed his own son to be put on a cross, he who knew no sin to become sin for us and have all the wrath of God pour down on him as if he had committed every single sin that was ever possible to commit. You never understand that unless you understand the Older Testament. You got to get into God's word. And this is my last word. Get into a Bible study. We have lots of, Ron, you have a Bible study, right? Stand up so everybody can see you. Come on, my man. Ron's Bible study is perfection extraordinaire. I've heard nothing but praise, and I say this to a brother I've known since 1976. Wonderful, wonderful Bible study, and people come to it, and they are blessed. I know that Eileen Thorpe, right, stand up, honey. She does a Bible study after church downstairs. One of the best teachers in this church. Amazing. There are other Bible studies being dotted around. Pastor Enrique has one on Wednesday evening. There are women's Bible studies that are happening, men's groups that are meeting. Get involved, but do a personal Bible study. People, I can't implore you more. The legalism and the traditions of man in the last days will cause people to abandon the truth, to skip out. And if we don't know that truth thoroughly, we're going to be a part of that, or we're going to cause others to be a part of that. So would you get into God's word? Would you get into God's word? Every day, every single day, even if it's a couple of verses, that's all you needed because God spoke to you in those two verses, to one phrase, or maybe a whole chapter or three. Get into God's word. You know, not only do I not want you to fall away because of the deception of these hypocritical liars, but I also want you to know the truth versus tradition so that you also might not lead others astray. Paul did it, and Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. Peter did it, and Paul confronted him to his face about it. We all could possibly do it, but if we know the truth and follow it, we'll be a part of those who help and not hurt. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the truth that is your word. Lord Jesus, you said it, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, you said. Father, I know since the first week I've been here that I've implored this group and others to get into God's word so that we may know the truth and we could put tradition and heresy to the test of truth. So I pray for every man, woman, and young person in this room right now that you would put within us a hunger to not only know truth, but to know the author of that truth so deeply. That anybody who came to us, whether they were hypocritical liars whose conscience was seared, demonic influence, whatever, Lord, that they would have no influence over us whatsoever because we would know the lie from the truth. Lord, I pray that if there's been traditions in this household, in this church, that have caused others to, that were not of God, let me qualify that were not of God, that have caused others to fall away, Father, I pray that you would forgive us for that, and that you would give us insight and wisdom. Now, Father, I just pray that if there's anything in my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only those things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. One last example. Some people have left this church because we sing hymns, which we haven't in a while. Some people have left this church because we don't sing hymns. You know what the Bible says about that? Worship him with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Just sing, for goodness sake. Amen? Would you stand? Traditions of men. Hear the words of the Lord. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord bless you and go in peace. Thank you for your grace.